Amen to God. Amen to the Lord. Well, I want to make sure I don't make the same mistake Brother Smith did. He picked up the lapel mic this morning, put it on, and left the mute button on during the whole Sunday school hour. I don't want to do that. And although some folks probably wish I would be mute. Good to be saved, isn't it? I'm glad, thank God, that when we've got assurance that when we cross that river, that our Lord will walk through the veil with us. Amen to God.
Amen.
And boy, isn't it good to know that families are saved together?
Amen.
Going to spend eternity together, that's the most endearing thought that a man can entertain in his mind, is that my family, myself, and our Lord will be together for all eternity. That's wonderful. That's good news.
Amen.
Amen. That's some news that you won't find in the Messenger.
Amen.
Or the Courier Journal. Or Playboy magazine.
Amen.
You can only find it in the Book of God.
Amen.
And I'm thrilled. Amen. I'm thrilled. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8 and verse 8 again this morning, please. You find that, let's stand together. It looks like we may conclude this book in the next 3 to 4 weeks, depending on how the Lord leads. I'm not exactly sure. But it looks like we may conclude it in 3 or 4 weeks and close out and be looking for a new study. I was praying yesterday about where the Lord would have us to go. I'd like to get involved in another study. It helps me, and it keeps me somewhat studious. You know, if we don't get in a schedule, if we don't get in some kind of a rhythm of study, we're apt to backslide and just completely. It's easy to get away from the book and prayer time, and I don't want to let that happen. So let's read our verse together, and then we'll bring the thought. Okay. Chapter 8 and verse number 8 says, "We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for?" Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the good singing we've enjoyed, giving and offering our praises unto Thee, Lord, for Your goodness toward us in the land of the living. Thank You this morning for Calvary and the rich grace of God, Your good love, Your mercy. Thank You this morning, Lord, for the house of God, a place to assemble, a place, Lord, to preach and pray and praise and worship God and fellowship with You and with one another, a place, Lord, we can come and turn aside from the world and find refreshment for our soul. I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd pass by our way. Lord, just one more time would You pass by our way. And as You pass, Lord, would You drop some handfuls of purpose? And then would You raise the windows of heaven and pour out Thy blessings upon Your people? Lord, would You forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and come and dwell in our midst and do great and mighty things that, Lord, even we know not of ourselves? Would You open our blinded eyes to the truth of the Word of God and help us to behold glorious things, Lord, from Thy Word? Feed our soul this morning. I've come to draw strength from God, to eat it at the table of the Lord. And I pray that You'll spread the table that we might dine in the richness of Your grace this morning. Save old sinners for Thy own glory. And God bless me as I stand. I need help in my body and in my spirit. I pray You'll touch me and loose me and let me preach to Thy honor and Thy glory. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? Now today I want to bring our final thought on this verse on little sisters. Because she has not reached maturity, I've likened her to those in the church who are yet in need of milk and not of strong meat. There are people saved and love God, but for some reason they have failed to grow in the Lord. And they yet have need of milk. They're yet what Paul called the Corinthian believers, babes in Christ. And they've not yet matured. They don't know what it is to dine on a big juicy T-bone or one of them two-inch pork chops down at Patty's. They don't know anything about that, spiritually speaking. They understand pablum and milk and the lighter things of life, but they've never enjoyed the good meat of the Word of God. And I hope my brothers listening this morning, may not be my sister, some of them, but they wrote me and asked me how I baptized. They wanted to know if I baptized in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I cordially answered them in love the best I could on yesterday or day before yesterday, how I stand on that. And my sister was confused, thought that I had seen some new light and began to baptize in Jesus' name. And I'll be honest, I almost wrote them back and quoted Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 6 rather, and verses 1 and 2, where we are to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands, and that we are to go on and mature in the Lord. And Paul said, and this we will do if the Lord permits. And I'm confident that the work He's begun in us, He'll perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And so He is willing for you and I to go on and mature in the Lord. He does not want us stale and stagnant, dead and dry. God wants us to gain new heights of spirituality. He wants our eyes to be open to new Bible truth, because the truth will make you free. I'm glad He set me free from the penalty of sin when I was saved. But friend, there comes a time when we need to be liberated and set free from some of the pleasures of sin that we yet enjoy. Growing in grace, turning our back on the world, and pressing toward the mark for the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, the longer I serve Him, the brighter heaven gets, son, and the darker it gets here in this world. Hey, man, I've done set my affection on things above. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And by the way, I'm looking for a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. I'm not looking to a Madisonville city. I'm looking to God's holy city, to that celestial city above that has gates of pearl, a street of gold, and a river of water of life that runs through the midst of it, trees on all sides. I'm telling you here, I'm looking for a place where the cherubim, the seraphim, and the angels are at God's feet, a singing and a praising God, and where the 24 elders will fall down someday and worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Thank God, and I'm ready to go today if He rings my number. Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that this morning. Just trying to let some of you know, because whatever Willie Walton told you, I ain't dead yet. Amen. I'm still alive and kicking it. In fact, I'm more alive, hallelujah, than I've ever been. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Thanks be unto God. In this verse now, we've looked at our faith. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we've looked at our desire for God, our hunger, our thirst for Him. And we've looked at our prayer life as being fruits or evidence of our maturity. Today I want to look at my final thought. God gave me four of them. That's all He gave. I want to look at our final thought and deal with our service to Christ. That is our servitude. How we serve the Lord. I'm reminded of a statement that Joshua made when he drawed that line before the people of Israel. And he said, you better choose a day whom you're going to serve. The God that our father served on the other side of the flood, and he ain't talking about Egypt, friend. He's talking about the gods they served in the wilderness wandering. Amen. Brother Smith said this morning, we have one of the illustrations about one of those men or one of those people that died in the wilderness. I believe it was Joab. Son, I don't want to ever die in the wilderness. I want to break camp, pull up my tent, amen, and cross Jordan's chilly waters to the other side of that Spirit-filled life and walk in the land of Canaan, where the grapes of Eskel grow, the milk and the honey flow, where there's walled cities, friend, our giants to fight, battles to fight, and victories to be won. Praise God, it's time we got over on the other side. How are we going to serve it? Lazily and slothful? Half-heartedly? Half-hearted? Part-hearted or whole-hearted? Said, I want to serve Him with all my heart, mind, body, and soul. He has bought me as a triune person and said, I want to serve Him with mind, body, and soul and give Him all of the labor that I can manage to give Him. Had a preacher about 12 years ago, he told me, maybe longer than that. I guess it has been. Probably been close to 17, 18 years ago. He said, if you don't slow down in your preaching, said, you're headed for an early grave. He said, slow down, back off, let up a little bit. I said, Doc, I'd like to do that, but there's only one problem. God's got me in a running gear, and praise God, I've got the pedal to the metal, and I'm going to run her all the way to the gate. Not looking back. No, sir, and I'm not slowing down. And I ain't backing off. No, sir, our service. How are we going to serve Him? Our service to Christ should be the preeminent thing in our life. It should take precedence over every other thing in our life. Whether it be a job, whether it be money, family or friends, our service to God ought to be the preeminent thing in our life. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Because it deals with eternal matters, friend. I'll tell you, this thing is an eternal matter that we're dealing with. It's not something temporal, but it deals with the Almighty and the eternal things of God. That's right. Notice what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God's building you. God is working on you. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're going to have to take up a little of the slack, a little initiative, and work, do a little of the work on your own if you amend, if you expect to get anywhere in this service of God. I want to say right now, I ain't only talking to preachers. If you think preachers are the only person that serves God, you're an idiot. In fact, it is my responsibility to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And son, working in service is what builds up the church. And if there's no work, there's no edifying. Say, secondly, our service, in our service, the flesh must be overcome.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, talking about a worthy adversary, the flesh is him. And if you listen to that ornery cuss, if you listen to that ornery cuss, you'll never accomplish anything for God. You'll get lazy, slothful. You'll back up on God, drag your feet, get cold, complacent, indifferent, backslidden, grouchy, grumbly, grumpy, complaining, complacent, and any other adjective I might learn to throw in there on top of all of it. I'm telling you, if you listen to your body this morning, you'll never do anything for the glory of God. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know that? Listen carefully. You know, when Esau and Jacob was born, and God spoke to Rachel, was it not Rachel that gave birth to those boys? About what was taking place in her womb. And it said in Genesis 25:23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. In other words, she said, Esau will serve Jacob. No doubt about it. Jacob was the elder son of the twin boys. But I'm telling you, the Lord said that He will serve Jacob, the younger. You listen to what I'm telling you, friend. Esau was the type of the natural man, the carnal man, the fleshly man. But Jacob is a type of the spiritual man. The born-again man, the child of God, the heavenly man. Oh, yes, that eternal man. And I'm here to tell you there's going to come a time in your life you're going to have to realize that your spiritual can overrule your carnality and your fleshly man and serve God. I think it's time some of you chose today who you're going to serve. Like Brother Wayne said in Sunday school, some of you sit on the pews of the church and your minds are chaffed, amen, like a bear robbed of her whelp, and preaching doesn't benefit you a bit of good. You sit there with the same sour look on your face, service after service, and preaching does not bother you anymore. Singing don't bother you. Fellowship, testimony, the tears of other people don't even bother you anymore. Won't charge anything for that. Your child. It's like a man out of work. The longer he stays out of work, the harder it is to get back to work. You know, like getting that harness gear. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You stay out of that spiritual harness, the harder, the longer you stay out of it, the harder it is to get back in and do anything for God. I'll say to the men out here, I've heard testimonies in this church now for 14 years. And down through them 14 years, some people have never testified and said, I want to thank God for saving me. Some have never testified. Others have never testified and said, I want to thank God I'm saved. Thank God for being good to them, bless them and humble them and all this and that. But I've never heard them thank God for being saved. Your mind is chapped. You've got a callous in your heart, friend. That's why you can't serve God with joy. That's why some of you don't serve God. That's why the ladies back in the back have got to cook the food, sweep and mop the floors, put up the chairs, put the wax on the floor, because some of you sorry men in here ain't got enough grace and service to go back there and take care of the job. Well, I don't mop at home. I know you don't. Sorry, egg suck. My hands don't fit a mop handle. Apparently they don't fit nothing but a Marlboro and a Coke. And a coffee mug every now and then. I'm talking about serving God. Sonny, hey, just like a beehive takes drones to get the work done, it takes laborers, it takes service to get the job done around the house of God. Son, I ain't got there yet either. Natural man Esau was first. Spiritual man Jacob was second. The spiritual man must rule over the carnal man, the fleshly man. It must do it. I wouldn't doubt some of you ain't went home and told you, well, I don't care what that preacher says. Ain't my job to do that. There. Who says it, Buckwheat? Huh? Can I give you a case in point? And I'm not griping. I love you, but God knows the man I'm getting ready to talk about does more work around here than most of 10 of you put together. I'm going to talk about Doug. But I got the ladder out of that office in there last night, went back here, took a bulb out of that out of this hallway light, walked up front, said, Brother Doug, said, we got a light bulb out back there. We got any bulbs? Doug walked in the office, that light bulb, what'd you do, Doug? Case in point, son. And ain't nobody does any more work around here than Doug does. Including me. But that's case and point of what Brother Hall's getting ready to preach on. Yeah, amen, brother. Oh, I wish you'd get away from that. Oh, but the Holy Ghost has already put me up to it. Hallelujah. I won't say in our service. And by the way, some of you ain't here enough to serve God. I got to get out there and soul win. There's 25,000 in Madisonville. Soul win some of them. Amen. Woo-wee. You may not be having fun, but old Brother Hall show plugged in today. Hallelujah to God. In our service, listen now, there must be dedication. Jesus said in John 12:26, if any man serve me, Let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. I'm going to tell you something. There's got to be a little dedication. When he said, take up your cross and follow me, he's talking about service. About our labors, our work. And by the way, before I ever get there, and we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the work that we have done in this body. Toiling on, toiling on. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and then He'll call us home. No time to let down, quit, and get tired now. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I'm tired. Join the crowd. I think that's one of the biggest problems in our church. I think we're all a little tired and a little bored and a little dry. But I'm here to tell you, if we'll get the Bible and get on our knees, son. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, God, the Holy Ghost, will soup us up in grace, son. I'm feeling better all along. I'm about ready to kick that, throw that. Jump in that baptistry.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, man. I like what Brother Rain said this morning. Said, I ain't a hyper Calvinist, but I'm a hyper Baptist. Woo!
Amen.
Jesus needs to pass by our way.
Amen.
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 I'm going to tell you, there's got to be a little dedication.
Amen.
Now, it's a shame when a real estate man's got more dedication to keeping his body trim than we got in serving God.
Amen.
Hardly a day goes by that our ex-mayor don't jog down there every day, boy. Run with Phil. That was his slogan when he would run for mayor. Run with Phil. I'm not about Phil Terry, and I'm not criticizing him. I'm simply saying that he is dedicated to that jogging every day. And this time we got dedicated to our servitude to God every day.
Amen.
Number four, in our service there must be humility of spirit. If there's pride and arrogancy, we'll never serve Him. You know what the word servant means? It means a slave.
Amen.
Frequently used in a qualified sense of subjection or subserving. In other words, we serve a servant.
Amen.
And we are subject to that servant in whom we serve.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, who is that servant that we serve? Oh, I'm glad you asked me. Jesus said, I've come not to minister, not to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. I am a slave to Him. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, black folk don't like slaves. It's in the Bible. Jews had slaves. They're biblical. You can like it, lump it, hump it, or bump it and tell them I said so. Don't make no difference to me, friend. And all slaves didn't have the color of black skin.
Amen.
What are you going to do about them Gibeonites that lied to Joshua? They were made drawers of water and hewers of wood all their life.
Amen.
They were slaves to Israel.
Amen.
I won't charge y'all nothing for that. The word deacon. Somebody said, preacher, why don't you make some deacons? Well, I always under the impression that when they were ordained in Acts chapter number 6,
amen,
the Bible said, look ye out. Seven men who are full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And wisdom. In other words, it said, you find seven men that are already qualified and doing what I want them to do.
Amen.
And son, there ain't many folk around here doing in order to make them. If you think God will pick you up, son, sitting on your tail end somewhere and make something, you've got to have a little initiative. Son, it takes a little get up and go and a little bit of initiative if you're going to serve God. You've got to put your elbows into it, son. Got to hump a little bit. Hey, it takes a little toil, a little work. Somebody said, the preacher ought to do all the visiting and all this and all that. Is that right? You better read your Bible.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the early apostles said. They said, it's not even right for us to leave prayer and the Word of God to serve tables. And that's what a deacon is, a waiter. He's a server.
Amen. Amen.
I won't charge y'all nothing for that now. Our service must be accomplished for the right motive. That is to glorify Christ. We have a little sister. She's got a problem. She's not mature. She's got a baby. She don't know how to do things right. She's learning to sweep the floor, but she can't keep the house clean yet. She's learning to cook, but she can't cook a full course meal yet. She's learning to make cornbread, but she just ain't got her batter right yet. I'm simply saying that she was immature. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Now I've got 3 points and we're going to the house. I've got to the message. That was the introduction. And the thought to keep it, the word, the T in there everywhere, is toiling in service. I started out preaching, trusting in the Lord, thirsting after God, prevailing in prayer, and toiling in service.
Amen.
Putting our elbows into it.
Amen.
And by the way, there are some toiling in service. Mark chapter number 6 and verse 48, the disciples of Christ crossed the sea and they encountered a storm. The Bible said, "And he saw them lollygagging, goofing off, playing as the wind was boisterous." Oh no! The Bible said he saw them toiling and rowing. Working, laboring, toiling, putting their back. I'm going to tell you something. Have they laid the oars down? Christ would have probably let them drown. And if some of you don't pick the oars up, he may very well let you drown out there somewhere. Wouldn't take much for me to become an Armenian. And I would, but I didn't have faith in some of you. Toiling. 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 Rowing. Toiling. Toiling and rowing. Son, I tell you what I wrote down in my notes. I put, "The church is not a free ride across the sea." Thank God for His power, but the church requires manpower. Y'all just sitting there looking awful somber. Now, about to get to my thought. The qualifications of a servant of God. Somebody said, "Anybody can do it." Oh no! Son, when you look at the Old Testament book, just anybody couldn't do it in any old way. God had a precise plan for a precise people to be done in an exact way, that the right, you will never do right by doing wrong to try to do right. You'll have to do right to do right, or it ain't worth a flip in the eyes of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are qualifications?" Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles there when I quote this first verse, you can't, because that's where I'm going to finish out our thought. In Exodus 29 and verse 1, the Bible said, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to minister unto me in the priest's office." Now, we're not all high priests, son, but I'm going to tell you, we are priests and kings. And some of the same qualifications that Aaron and his sons had, you and I, to minister to God in the church, are going to have the same. Now, I'm getting ready to uproot some things, so you just might as well buckle down and look me up right there. My God, give my eyeballs, friend. Huh? They had to meet some qualifications, and notice it said, "This is what thou shalt do unto them." God said, "Moses, here's what I want you to do to them." Yes, Moses is a type of the divine deliverer, friend. They have to be a work done on you and I by God before we're ever qualified to do any ministering in the holy place. And by the way, you don't get holy to do holy things. God makes you holy in order to allow you to do holy things. Somebody said, "If I just preach, I'll just automatically blossom. I'll sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school class. I'll just become a spiritual giant." Who told you that?
Amen.
Who lied to you?
Amen.
Well, there's dead preachers all over the country, and then there's fireballs like me.
Amen.
Trying to get a smile now. Are you listening to me? God had to touch them. Moses had to do something for the fellas before they were ever qualified. Now, don't anybody leave me the qualification. I want to say number one. I've only got three main points. He must have. You must have a converted heart.
Amen.
Brother, I had no idea where you were, Brother Smith. We hadn't talked. Now, I'm telling you, there's too many lost men and women putting their hands to holy things. And son, I'm going to tell you point blank to you, got your Bible. If you walk on this platform and you know you're not saved, stay off of it. Confess your sin, get right with God, and get off of it. Son, you got to have a converted heart.
Amen.
Now, don't nobody leave me. Somebody said, where do you get this at, preacher? Chapter number 29 and verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water.
Amen.
Don't leave me. This is not the labor washing. You wash in the labor they took upon themselves to go to the labor. But here, it's Moses doing the washing. It's the man of God, son, that type of Christ that is doing the washing. This is not the labor. This is old time, heaven sent, heartfelt salvation that transforms the heart of a man and turns his thoughts Godward and spiritual. Are y'all getting anything, or am I just blowing it out to the breeze? That's right. The washing here is a type of salvation because it was come from Moses, which is a type of the deliverer. He delivered them. What is it Paul said in Titus 3, 4, and 5? But after that, the kindness of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What? Know ye not that you must be born again, both of the water and of the Spirit, or you shall not enter the kingdom of God? Old Brother Nolan's right. About 95% of the preachers across America today is as lost as a June bug and on their way to hell. They've never had a holy calling put upon them. They know nothing. I've had preachers now, listen to me. I've had preachers now to tell me, Brother Hall, I hear you're having some difficulties in the church. It's kind of, go, I'm going to tell you what to do now. If you just kind of back up a little bit, let down a little bit, why don't you know that things that ease up? I'm not a backing down and letting up one bit. That's a lost man. That's a carnal man. Somebody told me that in a meeting not far from here, a man that I love and appreciate with all my heart preached on Baptist terrorists.
Right.
And he said the first way to give evidence of a Baptist terrorist is he's got a beard. I'm here to tell you, son, that's about as asinine as anything I've ever heard in my life. It ain't no wonder America's going to hell.
Amen.
And I said this the other night, I'll say it again, I'm not greatly fond of beards.
Right.
But I find nothing in the Bible to prevent a man from wearing a beard.
Amen.
But if I was going to wear a beard, I'd wear a full beard.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear the little worldly part that they've got today on most men.
Yeah.
Book said, don't mar the corners of that beard.
Yeah.
But I ain't making it an issue, son.
Yeah.
Now, if a man comes in here, bless God, with oatmeal in his mustache, snot down hanging down in his beard, yeah, I'm going to say something about it. He needs to cut the stinking ugly thing off.
Amen.
Or take a good bath or do something. But I'm telling you, I've got a whole lot more scripture for a beard than I have again one. And son, if that is all people are living by in churches, it is no wonder that people are sitting on the pew starving to death spiritually and sinners going to hell without God. I probably oughtn't to say this, but unless God changes my mind, I'm preaching tonight on hell because I'm afraid some of you are going there.
Hey,
man, if that frightens you, stay at home, son, and I'll know I've tagged you. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Must be converted. Amen to God.
Amen.
Must be converted. Now get this now. When Aaron was brought to that door and his sons, he was, and I hope you'll understand this in the light of the text, he was stripped of his earthly garments. You can't wash somebody with their clothes on. You ever take a bath with your duds on? Have a hard time getting to the skin, don't you? He had to be stripped of his earthly garments and then was washed, and I'll get to this in a moment, then new garments, priestly garments, holy garments were put upon him, which is a type of the adorning garments of the grace of God in our life. Son, we're going to have to be adorned by grace and clothed with the garments of righteousness to do the work in the service of God. Son, I feel enough God on me up here to blow up this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. This is a type of the righteousness of Christ. And I say again, son, you can't serve God. Are you listening to me? You get up here and sing in the choir loft, thinking that's going to get you some merit with God, you spinning your wheels, friend. Playing the instruments, leading the music, preaching or otherwise. Teaching Sunday school or otherwise will gain you no merits with God. In fact, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to put your hand on holy things if God has not saved you and put you there. Somebody said, oh, this is just for the preacher's qualification. We're all priests unto God, son.
Amen.
And the preacher ain't the only one that serves in the church.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Some of y'all look like you swallowed a dill pickle. Belch. You'll feel better. Saved. I noticed when the choir was singing, Miss Hall was singing on that, we'll cross the river together or something, whatever it was. I'm so hyper right now, I can't think straight. I saw some of you with tears in your eyes running down your face. Saw one lady I ain't never seen before with her hand up in the air. I like to have a heart attack, boy. I wanted to run the aisle. Made me feel good. But I saw some of the rest of you as hard and adamant as iron.
Amen.
Some of you sitting thumbing through a book. We don't come to church, are you listening to me, to thumb through books, take outlines, and dawdle babies. We come to worship God and serve Him in the house of God. Somebody said, I want your outline. Go back there and buy an outline book. Help the church out with $4. Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that. Anyway, we're having fun. Now notice this now. It's going to really get sour right here. To serve in that tabernacle, they had to have a converted heart, but they had to be clothed in the right apparel. Now here's where it's going to tight. It's going to get tight. It's going to get stiff right here. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? It said in verse number 5 of chapter 29, and thou shalt make them garments and put upon them the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird them with the curious girdle of the ephod, and then shalt thou put the mitre upon his head and put the holy crown upon the mitre. If I counted him correctly, everybody look right up here. Whoop! If I counted him correctly, there's 8 of them all together! And 7 of them we ought to be aware of right now, but the 8th I'm going to get someday when I get the glory the crown I ain't had yet.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But son, can you imagine Aaron walking into the holy place at the door of the tabernacle with a Marlboro? And a tank top and a pair of Bermuda shorts and a boom box over his shoulder. Boom, bop, boom. What are you doing here? Going in to light the candle, man. Boom, bop, boom. Hey, can you dig my Bermudas, man?
What about Miriam? Can you imagine Miriam? Where are you going, Miriam? Well, where do you think I'm going, Moses? Cold ain't no good. Oh, yeah. Where are you going, Miriam? Well, where do you think I'm going, Moses? I'm going in the tabernacle. I'm going to worship God. Where are you going, Abihu? Man, I'm going to put the showbread out today, man. That's a laugh. We laugh at that. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that those garments represented beauty and glory. Oh, yes! Now, I still believe God's people, son. If we're going to serve Him, we got to have on some kind of apparel that gives glory to God and beautifies this nasty flesh of ours. Somebody said, do you have any scripture for that? I'm getting there. Can you imagine, now get this now, can you imagine an unconverted man clothing himself with an ephod and a girdle and a mitre and a coat? Any of you ever seen a picture of the high priest? Can you imagine an unconverted man coming down and putting I'm going to tell you what he'd do. That's why just the minute I get out of this church, I'm going to get back into them old clothes and I'm putting my breeches back on.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that natural man, sacred and holy things, does not appeal to the spirit of a natural carnal man. It won't do it for him. I can't imagine an unconverted man clothing himself in that manner. Proper clothing never seems right to a lost man. Do you know why you've got to beat people and thump people and holler at people to get them to put on the right kind of clothes? They're lost! That's why women are going to wear their breeches and their slits up their dresses, amen to God, and go gaudy and haughty and baggy and draggy and have to beat them to put on the right kind of clothes. I'm telling you why, they're natural! Something they're natural. They've never had a converted heart. When I got converted, nobody had to beat me in the head to get a haircut. Nobody had to tell me to quit wearing Bermuda shorts, go swimming on the beach, stop drinking liquor, and quit smoking cigarettes. Ain't we having fun now? And I'm just going to tell y'all, are y'all with me now? Have I done dumped too much that we can't have? I'm here to tell you, I think, especially when we come to the house of God, we ought to put on some right kind of clothes that glorify the position of life that we occupy, which is a royal child of God.
Amen.
The right kind of a shirt and a pair of slacks on a man is still right. And there ain't nothing wrong if you want to wear a necktie and a jacket. Somebody told me Doug Seahorn quit wearing a necktie. Well, that's all right. I don't know where these guys come up with all this stuff. They said somewhere down the line they read a book where they said a necktie was invented by a faggot. Queer. Sodomite. So they quit wearing them. I wonder if they'd stop eating hamburgers if they found out where they come from. Quit drinking Coke. They drank Cokes and Pepsi. And that black faggot that wanted to be white, son, tried to, oh yes, advertise Pepsi Cola for years, and the Pope still drank Pepsi.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, they're right and a wrong clothes to wear, buddy.
Amen.
And it ain't just for the house of God. Do you believe their clothing they wore out in the camp? With a coat, a long coat with breeches on.
Amen.
I wonder what the Lord had done to Aaron had he refused to dress right. Lord, I'm not putting on that ephod, and I'm not putting on that curious girdle, I'm not putting the mitre on my head nor the crown, and I'm not wearing that coat. Well, I've got news for you then, Aaron. From now on, you keep your hind end out of the choir.
Amen.
And you ain't taking up the offering no more either. And you ain't singing another special song, and you ain't preaching, and you ain't playing the piano, the organ, or the guitar. So you put on the right kind of clothes, Mr. Aaron.
Amen.
But we let her slide today, friend. We let her slide. And I'm here to tell you, some of you daddies better take your children in the hand, buddy.
Amen.
Hey, Dad!
Amen.
What business is a 16-year-old boy, and I love you, thank you. What business has a 16-year-old boy got out in his own little hot rod?
Amen.
And if they ain't right, they'll pick up a girl that ain't right.
Amen.
And if that girl cusses like a sailor marker, then Junior is a cussing with her.
Amen.
You can sit and nibble on your fingernail right now, buddy, but I'm here to tell you there is a devil's hell that's awaiting you.
Amen.
You better believe I'm telling it right. There is a hell out there that's awaiting on you. Death is coming, son. It's real.
Yeah.
Wake up. Get your head out of the sand and wake up.
Yeah.
It's time we got concerned about our service for God.
Amen.
And look here. Can you imagine? Has any of you ever seen? How many in here have seen a picture of the high priest in his priestly apparel? Raise your hand. You've never seen a picture of it? We're going to have to get you one. You know what a lost man would have thought about Aaron? I'm going to tell you what I thought. I'd never seen one either. And here come this man marching into Tabernacle one night at the chapel service in the Bible college. And he was wearing the high priest's garments from head to foot. And I'm going to tell you, here's what I thought in my mind. When I seen that man, I said, he looks ridiculous. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm going to tell you why a full-length dress and a blouse that don't reveal your upper and lower anatomy to every man out there, why it looks stupid to some of you little girls in here, because you're still lost.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of you, why a long-sleeve white shirt or a long-sleeve shirt and a necktie looks stupid to some of you, and a jacket and looking right, you're lost.
Amen.
That's right. Honey, if mama has to thump you to get you to wear the right clothes, you're lost.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with that if you know you're lost and profess to be lost. But when you tell me or mommy or daddy you're safe and God has got to thump you and beat you to get you in right clothing, you're lost.
Yes,
when you look at your mother wearing the right kind of clothes and say, Mama, you look silly.
Yes.
You're lost.
Amen.
Amen.
While I'm there, I'll hit this another lick. I'm just going to bear it down to some of you blow up, blow out or something. Some of you little girls in here that don't want to get married, I don't want to get... Who told you that? Where'd that come from?
Amen.
Who's teaching you that stupidity?
Amen.
Well, I won't have a man to rule over me, and you won't have God to rule over you either. You will fry in hell someday, and I love you, but you're headed for hell with that attitude. Bow up, bow neck, stiff necked. We ain't so bad off here, but some of them bigger churches, them kids will roll in on Sunday morning and be docked out, fit to kill. Just like over at Brother Griffith's. Them boys come in there, docked out, fit to kill.
And when they get a 15-minute break, they're out there dribbling the basketball backward and forth on the street. They know who won every ball game the night before, what the score was, who was the leading scorer, who fouled out, who didn't foul out, who guarded who, what kind of records were set, and who's a playing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It ain't no wonder they blow up. They're lost.
Amen.
And we're having fun. I'm talking about serving God. It ain't no wonder some of you little old boys in here, you never want to do anything in the back. You never want to affiliate with the school. You never want to do anything right. You're lost!
Amen!
Amen! Amen to God! Serving Him is a privilege. It's a glorious privilege and an honor. What an honor to stand in the presence of God and let Him anoint you with holy oil and give you the privilege of walking into the house of God and praising and worshiping and serving God.
What an honor. What a blessing. Just to have breath to praise Him. Oh, we just praised Him this morning. It ought to broke out in here like measles this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is wrong with some of you? Have I let you down? Have I got weak? What have I done to you? Tried to help you and keep your family out of hell, and some of you are sitting looking, preaching like a calf in a new gate. Walk in that office and shake everybody's hand but mine and tell me you ain't got a problem with me. You're a lion through your teeth. You are lying through your teeth. That apparel was designed to cover nakedness. Chapter 28 and verse number 42, it says, "Then shalt thou make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even to the thighs, they shall reach." Ain't nobody girl interested in seeing your leg. You can solve that problem. You get your heart right with God and put something on right.
Amen.
When you come to church, you won't have to worry about that problem.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, Daddy. If you ain't got enough oomph about you to do it, let me try for about 2 weeks.
Amen.
I made some of you madder than a hornet. That apparel was for glory and beauty. Said, "And for Aaron and his sons shalt thou make coats, and thou shalt make them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty."
Yes.
Gentlemen, do you know why you think a woman that's half naked is, why you still think she's beautiful?
Yes.
Wrong heart.
Yes.
Sat down over in the chair this morning, I was tired, still tired. Carried my sweetie pie, her cappuccino. Sat down there with my cup of coffee. And just sat there. She said, "Why are you not saying anything this morning?" She's been around me long enough to know if I'm not talking, I got a problem. And I said, "Well, I didn't really want to tell her, you know. Too much over that." I said, "I'm just sitting here admiring your beauty." She said, "I'm sure glad beauty is in the eyes of the beholder." Looking at that beauty. And I'm going to tell you something. When we're dressed right and our hair's right, our heart's right, our life is right, Jesus looks upon us and says, "Now there, it's what grace has done. It's made them beautiful." And you know what it does, Father? It glorifies me. That's their glory. Hallelujah to God. That's their glory. You know why? When He looks down and sees us, He sees
the handiwork of God in our lives. That's brought us up for, and that's the glory. His glory.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Must have a converted heart. Must be clothed in the right apparel, and I'm closing. You must be clean in your life.
Amen.
Chapter 29 and verse 7, then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his son. Set him apart.
Amen.
For the service I've got for him. Now, I want everybody listening to me right here. You know when God saved you, that's exactly what he did. He set you apart for work in the church. Not out yonder, in the church. And if you're going to work, it's got to be, the life has got to be right. It's got to be holy. He don't put his oil on an unclean vessel. You know what Jim Mathias told me this morning? He said there's a church in Bowling Green that's got a black preacher married to a white, divorced his wife and married a white woman. But life, buddy, it's got to be right. The heart's got to be converted. And that apparel has got to be right. We're going to serve God. Fellow walked up in the pulpit out in Arizona when I was out there, and he had on a short sleeve shirt with a V-neck and a chain around his neck, Bermuda shorts and sandals. Believe in that. Reminds me of Dino. Dino prays on the golf course. Dino ain't praying, period, Jack. Ever run around on a golf course with a pair of Bermuda shorts on, beating a little white ball around, tell me he's a praying? He's an idiot. I never go by that exit in Knoxville. I don't say hello, Dino. Bye, Dino. Adios, Dino. We ain't stopping at Dino's. We have a little sister that has no breath. What shall we do for our little sister in the day that she is asked for? Next week we'll answer that question, Lord, Dino, help us. Let's stand together, please.